Who?
Tell me, Mona. I have to do it when I'm thinking of her. I forget.
Mona and Larry.
That's Mona? Oh, no, I'm talking about Mona Lisa.
Oh, it's her anniversary. If you'll notice, I'm not in the directory in the program. I don't have a day of any kind. All right. Anybody know what we've been talking about?
The gospel.
Now what? I'm going to come around to you. I want you to just name one thing, just one, because I got to move along, of what we've been talking about that relates to the gospel, okay? And try to go in some order, if you can, where we started. All right? You want me to start with you?
Or? No, because I'm not in order.
You're not in order.
Oh, you got to be able to.
I'll come here to my assistant. She's always, boy, she perks up and she's always ready. Aren't you, honey?
Sort of.
Sort of? We didn't talk about sort of.
Okay, Paul, though.
What?
Paul.
Paul. Paul's one that delivered the gospel where we started, wasn't he? That's right, honey. Paul, an apostle, a servant of Jesus Christ, and he says, I declare unto you the gospel which I preach. So we know the gospel is preached by Paul, right? Good. All right. You want to throw something in? Or?
No, I'm not in order.
Okay, she's not in order.
Power.
Okay. Power. Shirley's there going, oh, God, no. Salvation, boy. Hey, it's the conduit of salvation, right? And the conduit that delivers salvation is the power of God, right? And it's preached by men who were called of God. You know, you just can't go out and say, I'm going to start preaching. God calls men to preach. God calls men and women to teach. God calls servants. Now, true, God hath called us all to ministry. Because he says we've been given the ministry of reconciliation. In other words, we're to all go out and tell them what we got and how we got what we got, right? And how we got what we got is by someone preaching the gospel, and we believe the gospel because it's the good news of God. And if you don't believe the good news of God, you don't believe the gospel. And if you don't believe the gospel, you're done. You're done. You might as well not try to go to square one because you're done. So we've been talking about the gospel, but there's three aspects given when we first started about the gospel. He tells what the gospel is. In other words, the he summarizes the gospel in a nutshell. The old fella says, if you get this in your head, you'll have it in a nutshell. What were those three things? He says, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached. Christ died. Now, don't go so fast, John. John is always wanting to get them all in because, see, he wants to try to get an A. He's never gotten an A, and he's trying to get one. How that? Remember when I gave you the three how that's? And that's, it's called. And that's, the three and that's. How that Christ died. Now, he didn't just die. He died for a I knew you'd get it. I knew you would. He died for a reason. He says, how that Christ died for our... Listen, if you don't believe that you are a sinner, you are going nowhere. with the gospel, because that's the very first step. You know, this 12-step thing, I guess you call it. Well, there's three steps to getting saved. First of all, you recognize that you're a sinner, right? Then you repent of your sin, right? And then you go and live it. That's it. That's it. So he says, and that Christ died for our sins and was buried. Listen, if you don't believe he was buried, you don't believe he died. If you don't believe he died, you don't believe the gospel. Right? Now, there's a lot of people believe that he died. Did you know that? I mean, there's a lot of people, unsaved people, believe that Christ died. But they won't go to step three. They don't believe he was resurrected because they don't believe he was God. Because you see, only God could raise himself. Right? So, if only God could resurrect himself, then who died? You say, well, God can't die. Well, he could in the flesh and as Jesus, right? And he did. He had the power to, right? There's that word, power. And that's what Paul says. It's the power of God into salvation. So we see those three aspects, how that he died for our sins, he was buried, and that he resurrected. And then it says, according to the scripture. And that's sort of where we've been, right? We've been trying to show you according to the scriptures. Because I told you something about that. What did I tell you? You say, Tom, you told us a lot of things. But I'm talking about, I mentioned something specifically.
It has to be the Word of God.
Well, that's true. That's true. But what does it mean according to the scriptures? According to 1 Corinthians 15, verses 1 through 3? That, thank you, John. I knew John is such a brilliant man. He never gets an A. Did you ever notice that? Because Becky's over there giving him the answers. I know how this works. It's sort of like when I was in school. Listen, I wasn't very smart, but I was smart enough to sit beside the smartest person. And I would discuss it before. And then my hand would go up. And the teacher always thought I was so smart. But I was just smart enough to sit beside the smartest person. John is smart enough to sit beside the smartest person who knows everything. According to the scriptures, right? So we've been trying to show you that Paul would use the Old Testament to make his point. Now, in Romans, it says that the gospel is concerning someone. Concerning his son, right? I mean, without the son, there's no gospel. Because it's the son that died, buried, and was resurrected, right? So that's the gospel. That's the good news of God. And it means that God has made a plan for us to be saved. And being saved, we become children of God. And becoming children of God, we become heirs with Christ. And becoming heirs with Christ, we will be in the presence of God. There you have it. There you have it. Then if that's not good news, you don't know what good news is. Because, see, you have to look past this life. You have to look past this life. Folks, we're going to be in the presence of God. You say, are sinners not going to be in the presence of God? Only long enough to be judged. And then the Bible says that the second death is not being in the presence. In other words, all the love and joy and peace comes from whom? God. So if you're not in that presence, you're going to be without those three things. Well, I can't imagine. Listen, that'd be hell enough. Right? I mean, wouldn't that be hell enough to live in a world where a 21-year-old boy evidently has grown to hate, been taught to hate, or something caused him to hate, a demon or something, where he would go and kill 21 innocent people? And I'm going to tell you right now, I'm not going to be political, but that has nothing to do with guns. Bless God, you could take away every gun in this world and you'll still have 21-year-olds who can hate enough to kill. Because without God, you hate. With God, you love. That's the point. So in Romans chapter 1, he talks about that gospel, doesn't he? And he talks about, he says, oh, he says, I've been praying to come to Rome. I've wanted to come to Rome that I might have some fruit among you. Now, what do you think he was talking about there?
Huh? He would save people would receive his word.
Listen, that's the fruit he wanted. Oh, he wanted to go give that gospel out because that gospel will produce fruit to all who believe, right? And then he says, well, because, listen, I'm not ashamed. I'm not embarrassed by the gospel of God. He says, I'm not ashamed of it because I know something. He says, I know that it's the power of God that'll save you. Well, listen, folks, I got to tell you, if we believe that, we need to be living it and giving it. Right? I mean, we can't just say Paul believed that. Paul didn't get anything you didn't get. Paul got the same Holy Spirit you got when you got saved. Paul, you got the same power that Paul got when he got saved. Listen, he was called to be an apostle and to go out and preach, and you may not have been called to preach, but bless God, you've got everything you need to go out and sow that seed so that you might have. Thank you. He says, so that's right. I've been praying that I can come and get me some fruit. Because he says, for I'm not ashamed of the power of God unto salvation, for it's the power of God unto salvation. To everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. But then he gives the real reason why it's necessary that God call him and send him to preach the gospel. Now, if you want to come up to your seat, you can come up to your seat if you'll feel more comfortable. You're not a back row person. And I want everybody to welcome Miss Judy to our class. We won't ask her to fill out a visitor's card, but well. He goes on to say, It's really necessary that I do this.
For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all unrighteousness and ungodliness, and against all boasting all the truth and unrighteousness. Is that not a good reason to give it out?
Amen. Please don't ask me to repeat all that.
No, I won't. He says, for this reason, for the wrath of God, for the wrath of God. You say, but Tom, you've been talking so lovingly and so nice about the love of God and the gospel of God and how it'll save you and everything. Yeah, but folks, listen, I'm afraid. Now, this is just my opinion. Don't run out and say I taught this as scriptural. This is my opinion. I'm entitled to my own opinion. You're entitled to yours, all right? I won't argue about yours. Don't argue about mine. But I'm afraid that we're teaching too much about the love of God.
Amen.
Okay. If you don't think I know about the love of God, you don't know me. But folks, you won't appreciate God's love until you know about his wrath. I'm afraid that we have so watered this thing down and so talked about his love till nobody's afraid of God anymore. And nobody's thinking that God's going to lay the... You know, I hear this, and I know what they mean. I do. I don't hold it against them, but I've heard preachers say, well, you don't think God's going to hit you in the head with a hammer, do you? Yes, bless God, he's going to hit you in the head with a hammer. The worst you've ever been hit. If you refuse his son, if you reject his son, if you won't hear his gospel, bless God, he is going to hit you in the head with a hammer. A big hammer. And it's going to hurt a long time. For the wrath of God. Here's Paul's reasoning. For the wrath of God is revealed. Well, everybody knows what reveal means, don't you? It means made manifest, shown. So don't tell me, don't go around saying, oh, we got people don't know about the wrath of God. Well, bless God, then you're calling God a liar because he says it's revealed. That means you know about it. Huh? For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven. You're reading it, aren't you, brother? Well, read along with me, don't get me wrong. Is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of what? Of how many? Of men, period. That ladies, I'm not leaving you out. That's a generic term meaning humanity. All. But that's not all he says. Oh, he goes on and he says more. Who hold... Oh, bless God, if you don't think, Sandy, I'll talk to you. If you don't think that they deserve the hammer, the last part of that verse says, who hold the truth in unrighteousness. What does that mean? That means, Patty, that they know about it. They just refuse to believe it. The word hold means to press down. It's that same word where he says to Christians, he says, hold fast. Hold fast that which you have received. Nail it down. We've nailed down the truth. They've nailed it down as a lie. Now, I think I've told you this. I'll tell it again. My brother won't mind me telling it. My brother Dan, growing up, you know, some people say they have a short fuse. He didn't have a fuse. If you just lit a match close to him, kaboom, baby. He's like that goat on Andy Griffith. Bluey. Now, I'm sure he'd tell you he's ashamed of some of the things. And you know, that's just the way he was. He had a quick temper, and it didn't take much to light it. But the one thing you wouldn't call him, you didn't have to be real close to him either. You could be across the hall. If you called him a liar, the fuse didn't need to be lit. You or him one was going to get hurt. Well, if that's true with my brother who's human, God says I'm that way. And I'm divine. You just take what I've told you. You take whom I have given you. Someone turn Hebrews 10. Who's real quick? Hebrews 10, 28. Hebrews 10, 28. And give me, that may not be the verse. It may be 26. Which one starts out of how much sore punishment?
29.
Okay, Sandy, I want you to stand and read that as loud as you can read it.
Of how much worse punishment do you suppose will he be thought worthy who has trampled the Son of God underfoot, counted the blood of the covenant by which he was sanctified a common thing, and insulted the Spirit of grace?
Here's what that says. How hard do you think God ought to hit you with that hammer? If you would take his son and do that to him. That's what it says later. It's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Of how much sore punishment, how much worse punishment? Suppose ye, he says. Think about it, he says. If you were doing this, if it was your child that you gave and they just counted it nothing, spit on it, how much anger would you have at them? Yeah. Folks, I'm going to tell you something. The wrath of God's a serious thing. And these people better quit whistling by the graveyard. They better start understanding that the wrath's coming. You say, but Tom, I thought you was going to demonstrate that to us in the Old Testament. You're in the New Testament. Come on, now there you went against what you was going to do. Well, if you would, turn to 2 Kings. I don't remember the chapter. I'll think about it in a minute. It's on the left page down at the bottom. I know that. I know what it says, too. I believe it's chapter 22. If I start out wrong, now you stop me because I don't want to get you in the wrong chapter. You won't know what I'm talking about. And it says, and Josiah was 8 years old when he began to reign. And he reigned 31 years. And he did that which was right in the sight of God. How old is Silas? 5. How old is Elijah? 12. Well, can't use either one of them. Anybody got an 8-year-old? Huh? Little 7. You know about her, don't you?
I do.
Well, here's what it says. This 8-year-old boy became king. Now, first of all, how's he become king? Huh? Hey, his daddy died. His daddy, it says, did that which was evil in the sight of God above all that was before him. But you know that old saying, something don't fall far from the tree. An apple, is it an apple? An apple don't fall far from a tree. Well, this boy fell about as far from a tree as he could get. And you know, you wonder why. How can an 8-year-old boy do that which was right in the sight of the Lord? You got any idea, Sandy? I didn't think so. Have you got any idea, Pam? How an 8-year-old could do that which is right in the sight of the Lord. Have you got any idea, Amy, how an 8-year-old boy, you've had 8-year-old boys, how they could do that which is right in the sight of the Lord? Does anybody have an idea? Huh? Well, it tells you. Bless God, God's not, hey, God gives you the whole story. Because it says, you know, the next thing it says, and his mother was Adonijah. And it tells who she was the daughter of. She was the wife of a worst king ever. But she taught that boy about the Lord. And God honored it. Don't forget that. Raise your boy up. Raise your boy and your daughter up in the admonition of the Lord. And when they get older, they won't depart from it. I'm going to show you that in a minute. I'm going to demonstrate that to you. God just wasn't throwing that out there, folks. He says, this boy did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. He didn't turn to the left. He didn't turn to the right. Bless God, he was as straight as an arrow. Because his mother had taught him the law of God. So then it fast forwards, you know, like it does in movies sometimes. You get this thing comes up, and 18 years later, he says, and 18 years into his reign, he tells Shaphan, he says, Shaphan, you know, we're doing some reconstruction work on the temple. And I need you to go up to Jerusalem, and I need you to count all the silver, all the money that's come in to the treasury for the temple. And I want you to make sure that it gets to the workers, to the carpenters, to the masons, to all those who are doing the work. Boy, and then he says something. I'll tell you what, if we had a government like this, bless God, I wouldn't care to pay more taxes. I thought, sure, I'd get an amen there. He says, and don't worry about leaving supervisors over the money, for they have dealt faithfully. That's a 26-year-old king who knows that those boys up in Jerusalem are faithful. And he says, now look, count all the money and distribute it out to who's supposed to get it so the work continues to those who have oversight. I believe it says to those who have oversight. Is that not what it says? That's what it says. We have oversight committees in government up here. They look over everything. And he says, but don't worry about leaving somebody to count the money because they're faithful. Oh, bless God, wouldn't that be good if we didn't have to worry about Washington up there? You can't give them a dime. Bunch of crooks. Amen. Well, they are. Yeah. There's your dad telling them they are. Yeah. They can't be trusted. But these could. Well, then the high priest, after they took care of the money and everything, he says, oh, and by the way, Shaphan, he says, guess what? And I titled this, I called my brother, I said, message alert. Guess what I found? I want you to listen to this now, boy. This is good. Okay, I got to hurry, though. He says, you know what I found? I found the law of the Lord. And he read it to Shaphan. And Shaphan says, oh, you know what I got to do? I got to take this back and read it to the king. Now, first of all, don't it sound strange that the high priest who's over the worshiping and everything should say, look what I found? Well, he should have already had it. I mean, you know, but we got preachers today, folks. Bless God, they need to. We got people today preaching or say they're preaching. They need to find the Word of God, bless God. So he says, take it back. And Shaphan goes back and he reads it to Josiah. And Josiah says, boy, that's good. That's good news. I like that. He says, I'm really proud of it. Thank you. That ain't what he did. No, bless God, he did what most of us ought to be doing, or all of us. It says, and when Josiah heard the word, he rent his clothes. Now, I'm not asking you to tear your clothes this morning, but that's not what that's talking about. What it meant was he rent his heart. His heart was broken at the word of God. And you know what it was talking about, honey? He says, oh, we got to read this to the people. And he began to cry. He says, because the wrath of the Lord is great upon us. For our forefathers, our ancestors, have not listened to the word. And therefore God's wrath is upon us. Oh, we got to repent. We got to humble ourselves. Listen, 1 Peter says, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God. If we hear the word preached, if we hear the word taught, if we read the word, and it don't humble us, there's something wrong with us. That's not judgmental, that's fact. I'll give it to you this way. Do you remember when Jesus came and they were out there fishing? You remember that? And Peter didn't have no clothes on. And the Lord said, what are you doing? He said, Lord, we've fished all night, but we've come up empty. My words. And the Lord says, well, I can tell you why. You're fishing in the wrong place. I tell you what you do. Throw your net over on the other side. Now think about that. Think about that. Well, you know those fishermen, they've thrown that net everywhere. They're not stupid. They know how to fish, right? Larry knows how to fish. Larry just don't throw his line and his bait in one area. Well, no, you can go catch nothing that way. You got to throw that thing out there. I fished one time for 5 minutes, that's it. They don't want to play. I get bored. But anyway, I watch them on TV, and they just reel a thing, trying to shake it a little bit and get that fish tricked, you know, to where he thinks, oh, hurt me, something to eat. And he grabs it, and he gets hooked, right? But if that don't work, they don't throw it back over here. They just threw it there, so they throw it over here. And they try the same thing. But what Jesus was trying to get them to see was, at my word. How do I know that? Well, that's what Peter said. At thy word, Lord, we're going to cast it over here. They couldn't even drag it in. They had to call, boys, come help us. We've got more fish than we could ever drag in. At thy, you know what Peter said after that? Depart from me, Lord. For I'm a sinful man. He knew then, hey, God talks to fish. Well, hey, how else could the fish get in that net? I mean, God just said, boys, go jump in the net. Right? If you don't believe that, you don't believe the word. That's my opinion. Because they fished all night and caught no fishes. We sing that song. But he says, at thy word, Lord, we'll do what you say. And we'll throw that thing over there and they come. But you know what that did for Peter? It humbled him. Listen, if you don't realize when you're reading the Word of God that you're in the presence of God, there's something wrong. It should humble us. It should cause us to have tears. It should cause us to see ourselves as the proud, the decrepit people. the effect the word should have. Well, that's the effect it had on Josiah. Why would it have that effect on him? Because he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. He turned neither to the left nor to the right. And it's 18 years later, but he's not changed. And he says, well, boy, the wrath of God is on
all of us.
It's sort of like Daniel. You ever read Daniel's prayer? Boy, if you haven't, you ought to read it in chapter 9 of Daniel. That's an amazing prayer. Yeah, you know, he says, Lord, we. And if you read, Daniel is listed as one of three people who were almost sinless. But not in Daniel's eyes. But when he got before God, he knew who he was. And he knew who he was. And he said, Lord, our iniquity. Our iniquity. That's the effect the word has on you. So if it has that effect on us, when he says that the wrath of God abides, shouldn't it have that effect on us? Anybody remember what John 3:36 says? How that the wrath of God abides on whom? All those who believe not. To those who believe, you have eternal life. But to those who believe not, the wrath of God abides on them. It's like this. Here you are, an unbeliever. God's wrath is not up here, folks. See, there's not separation. If you're an unbeliever, there's God's wrath right on top of you, abiding on you. What's the first question a person ought to say? What's the first question a person ought to say? How do I separate myself from his wrath?
Salvation.
Oh, that's the only way. He can tell you. It's the only way. The wrath abided on him. But he came and he repented and God saved him. And you know what happened, honey? I'm going to give it to you out of the Word of God, okay? Somebody go to 1 Peter. 1 Peter. No, not 1 Peter. Not 1 Peter. Give me a second. Give me a second. Takes me a while. Takes me a while. Maybe it's 1 Thessalonians. No, it's not 1 Thessalonians. Yeah, maybe it's 3 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 10 maybe. 10. Left-hand column, bottom of the page on my Bible. I could get it in a second. But I believe it says, he talks about how that they turned from God to serve the living God, right? How they had turned from idols to serve the living God. And then in the next verse it says, and to wait. Am I there? Am I there? Okay, I'm there. Okay. And to wait. And to wait. For his son. Isn't that the good news? And to wait for his son from heaven. Even, oh, that word's something else. Oh, that word is something. You got to know. Hey, that word is something. I tell you, in the Greek, you know what that word means, Becky? Without a doubt. Without a doubt. Without any doubt. Even Jesus. Well, that's his son without a doubt. It's Jesus. But he doesn't finish. He says, who hath delivered us? Oh, glory. You know what that means, don't you? It means this right here. His wrath was on you. And he says, who hath delivered us? Oh, glory. The wrath is gone. Who hath delivered us from the wrath? Oh, I'm telling you, folks, These people that are whistling by the graveyard. These people that think they're just going to go on through life. Nothing's going to change. Nothing's going to change. I'm just going to pretend like I know him. I'm just going to have everybody thinking I know him. I don't even care if anybody thinks I know him. I don't care what people think. They can whistle by the graveyard if they want to. But I'm telling them right now, that wrath is laying on them. And one of these days, if they don't separate themselves from it, you know what the Bible says, don't you? It says, woe. Blessed are they. No, woe unto them to whom the stone shall fall upon. But blessed are they who fall upon the stone. Yours. Your choice. You can fall on the stone, or bless God, you can wait for the stone to hit you. But I'm going to tell you one thing. One or the other is going to take place. You're either going to get on that stone, or that stone's going to get on you. That's the wrath. That's why Josiah began to cry, because he loved the people. Listen, people who know God love the people, right? Listen, you think I'm here every week for nothing? It's because I love the people. I love the Word of God. I love God, but I love the people. I want us all to grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And Josiah began to weep. He said, listen, we got to do something. We got to do something. He says, I'll tell you what to do. He told five of them. I can't remember their names. Don't hold me to that. I can't remember their names. There's five of them. Shaphan's son, his chief counsel, lawyer, scribe, and all that, and the high priest and everybody else. He said, go and get a word from God on our behalf. So they go to the prophetess. And she says this. She says, you go and say this to the king. Because, I'm paraphrasing now, but you can read it, that's what it says. Because you have humbled yourself at the word of the Lord. You're going to die in peace and be buried with your fathers. And you won't see the wrath that's coming. He didn't say he was going to take that wrath away, did he? He just said, listen, because you've humbled yourself, you won't see it. Isn't that what Thessalonians said? Hath delivered us from the wrath come. Let me tell you something. If you know God, if you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you'll never see the wrath of God. You'll never see it. But if you don't, I can guarantee you, without a doubt, you're going to see it. You're either going to see it here, or you're going to see it there. But you're going to see it. You remember in Revelation, when we were going through Revelation, you remember when the wrath of God was, the wrath of the Lamb was poured out? You remember that? And you remember what they did? You remember what they did? Oh, they ran to the rocks and the hills. And they cried. They screamed. They hollered for the rocks and the hills to... That's how stupid they are. And how... I couldn't hide them from God. Let's assume for one minute that could happen, that you could go out here and scream for the rocks and the hills to fall on you. Do you think God don't see you under the rocks and the hills? God sees you. He says, listen, if you descend into hell, bless God, I'm there. If you descend up to heaven, I'm there. It doesn't make any difference where you go, where you are, who you are, I'm there. And they thought, well, but if we could get the rocks and the hills to fall on us, and it says, and to hide us. No hiding, folks. Please don't buy into that. There's no hiding. There's only one hiding place. That's in the rock. You remember Moses? You remember Moses said, Lord, I'd like to see your glory. Oh, boy, I I just love to see your glory. I've seen so many miracles by you. I've seen you do so many things for us. I'd just like to see your glory. You know what God said? He said, all right, son, I'll show you my glory. But first, you better get this. But first, I got to put you in this cleft of the rock. And I tell you what, Moses, you can't see my front. You can only see my hinder. But you'll see my glory. But not until I put you in the cleft. Let me tell you something. If you want to see the glory of God, you better be in the cleft of the rock. And there's only one rock, my friend. The rock of your salvation is Christ. There's only one hiding place. That's in the cleft. You better get there. You better be there. Listen, I don't care what people think. I told you this, and I'll tell it one more time. I ain't got time to tell everything I want to tell. But I was in Florida when I got saved, and I was in church that morning, and the pastor's wife came up, and she says, I want to be saved. She says, for all these years, I've had everybody believing I was saved. I tried to act like it. I tried to be like it. But I knew I wasn't. And today, I want to be saved. You got to get rid of all that would hinder you and make sure that you're in the cleft of the rock, because the wrath of God abideth upon all them that do not believe. Please don't believe that's just words. If you knew what was going on inside me right now, please. Don't deceive yourself. The wrath of God is coming. And he's going to hit with a hammer. Don't you believe that stuff where it said God ain't going to hit you with a hammer either. God's going to nail you unless you're in his son. And then he's going to love you. Huh? And he's going to welcome you in. Yeah. Well, I'm done.